This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, thank you very much, Lucius. Ross Tucker talking football here coming up at 3 o'clock. It's time now for the Chiefs Sounds of the Sports Day. Here's Eric.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Got a lot of good football clips in here. Might throw some more in football's finest later on in the program. I saw our buddy Black and Gold B says they should show Tyler Shuck's family on TV more. A couple of blonde hotties in that
living room. His girlfriend was an Oregon soccer player.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We'll get to Tyler Shuck here in a second. But we have some good, I believe these are some good candidates for greatest sounds in draft history. And we like to tee that up every year during draft time. We're going to start with Lawrence Taylor, who was asked how he remembered the night that he was drafted.
Take us back to your draft day. What do you remember from the day that you were drafted?
Donald, I don't remember too much. I had 41 Coors Lights, so I couldn't tell you.
You remember 41?
Yeah, I remember 41.
You remember 41, but you don't remember what happened.
I don't really remember what happened. I just know it was an exciting time, but it wasn't like this. You know, it was old school, and I wasn't in New York or anything. I just caught it on TV like everybody else. So,
did you get a phone call? Did you have your family around you? Did you get a phone call? You had your family around you?
I had my drinking buddies with me.
My drinking buddies. Not the fam, the drinking buddies.
It's a Wade Boggs-esque number there, 41.
It is. That's amazing.
I felt like he was honoring Dirk in some incredible way.
Absolutely, the Diggler.
What year was he drafted? What did the draft look like in the mid-80s, or was that the early 80s? 81? Second overall, the 81 draft. Was it even on TV live?
No. I'm trying to think of when ESPN started.
I
think ESPN started in, what, 79? So I think that they were starting to kind of, because Kuiper, I think, got his start in 88. So I remember being at LSU.
And 1980 was the first one.
Okay, there it is. ESPN 1980. Yeah.
I remember being like at LSU when it was on, and we would skip class to watch it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we'd skip class.
Lawrence Taylor rejected Abdul Carter requesting to wear his number 56. He said, you need to make your own legacy.
Yeah, I know. I did see that, which that makes sense to
it
me.
Does.
It like Cam Ward has the Warren Moon number one. And so that was a conversation of like, would Warren Moon grant him that jersey number? And Warren Moon ended up doing that. He presented him the number one jersey during one of his opening press conferences there when he got to Tennessee. But Cam Ward was number one. Like that is his number. Abdul Carter is trying to change his number to Lawrence Taylor's, which, I don't know, feels a little aggressive. Taylor was like, no chance.
Yeah, I mean, there's 50 players on a team. There's only 99 numbers or 100 numbers I think we can use if we count number zero.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, at some point, if you're with a great organization, you got to recycle these numbers. I like playmaker Michael Irvin's approach to it that I want the number to keep coming up so you talk about me. Like, we hadn't talked about his number for a long time, Lawrence Taylor, right? And now you're like, oh yeah, 56, and you know, so I could take it either way.
Yeah, that's true. I get that. Joe Thomas had a pretty funny story about his jersey number and a player that wanted it. Maybe we can play that at some point here as well. But I wanted to play this interaction with the Seahawks and their general manager John Schneider, who brought us knows very, very well. They drafted Jalen Milroe, and this was the interaction after they selected him.
Jim said that you told him he was the number one QB on your board. Is that accurate?
No. I don't think he was, actually. No, but he was damn close.
So Jalen Milroe told the media that Schneider told him that he was their number one quarterback on their board. And then Schneider's like, well, no, I don't think I said that. I think this could be a miscommunication of like, you were the top quarterback on our board when we selected you.
Yes, at the time.
But maybe not overall the entire draft. But you can see the look on Schneider's face and Mike McDonald, the head coach's face, who's sitting right there. And they're both kind of like trying to keep from smiling. They didn't really know what to do there. It was a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
Now, I would like
what
to
what would you have
you-
done? Would you have covered for him?
I think so. I'd have been like, yeah, absolutely. He was our guy from day one. Of course, we waited to the fourth round, but that's only because we knew other teams had a blind spot.
Yeah. Once I saw him, I didn't even have to look at another quarterback.
Yeah. Was there any other quarterbacks in this draft? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah. You just asked that rhetorical question.
Nobody can tote the rock like him.
Well, some would say that this next guy, Tyler Shuck, is the best quarterback in the draft. And the Saints fans, after Tyler Shuck gets selected, they went and did like one of those Gruden scream lines or whatever, the shred line, where they're just ticked off.
Yeah.
This is a Saints fan, I believe, setting a new record for bleeps. Hopefully I got them all.
25 years old, that nigga got five broken legs, two broken shoulders. What the f*** is he going to do for me? What the f*** can I do on a nigga that's almost 30 years old? Bro, that nigga been in college for the last 10 years, bro. I can't do shit with that. You going from fucking Jalen Hurts to Tyler Shuck. This going from Beyonce to fucking... Man, I ain't going to disrespect that lid like that, bro. I don't got footage. I ain't recording no songs. I ain't got no tweets. I ain't got no positivity. I hope that fucking... I hope every nigga associated with that fucking team have a fucking worse... A terrible life. Terrible fucking life. Fuck these niggas, man. Fuck.
Whew, freaking peered. That is how
that was close.
Saints fans... I believe I nailed it, though.
I think you were good.
I think I
was a lot of
batted
Fs.
A thousand there.
Gosh.
on the bleeps, but
he was angry.
That was the consensus from Saints fans after they took the quarterback that is extremely old and extremely physically broken.
Yeah.
But Kellen Moore, he saw something in him.
I love this low light from the combine. I just retweeted it at GBag Nation. Follow us all when you get there. Our handles are in the bio. But a number of outlets posted this where he's at the combine, the player's coming over the middle and he like fakes left and then is supposed to like lay it out there for him. And it looked like some of the balls I was trying to throw you in Oxnard last summer. I mean, look at this one. You seen this one, Brian? You been watching this one?
I saw it live.
He has the worst quarterback to play I think I've ever seen before. Well, where he like underhands this thing into a crowd of defenders and he's closing his eyes and turning his back to the defense when he does it. It's one of the more insane, unhinged plays I've ever seen.
I think his biggest problem is he's worried about his collarbones. You could tell. I mean, he's lost parts of two seasons because of them. And it's very reminiscent of what we saw with Eli Manning late in his career. Remember how he was very fearful of getting hit in the pocket?
Any pressure was a throwaway.
Any pressure was a flinch or a duck.
Hmm.
So you have a guy that, you can watch the Notre Dame game where he's standing there and he's been getting hit.
Yeah.
And he's just so fearful of they're going to land on him and they're going to break his collarbone again that you see him in the pocket start to collapse and then try and throw the ball as he's collapsing. And so
sounds like a guy you want to build around.
Well, it's just
tip of the cap to Kellen Moore.
He's broken his fibula, both his collarbones, the age. I will say this, when the guy is protected, though, he can really sling it, huh? He made some good throws. But that's you have to make sure that he's completely protected. Because the minute he starts to feel pressure or hits, then he goes into that kind of that survival mode.
Kellen Moore could probably relate to being terrified in the pocket of the giant humans around you. He was like, man, I feel the same way.
Oh, yeah.
You're my guy. We look at the game the same. Ross Tucker set to join us. Thanks, Chief. Kyle Higashioka coming up at 3:20. We're talking football with the Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker coming up next here. It's the GBag Nation, the fan.